This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. As you know, I always have great guests, and I try to find the most interesting guests I can find. My audience is my most favorite group of people, so thank you for coming and listening again. This week, I have a very interesting guest, and we're going to be speaking on a topic of COVID proportions. And I know him by name. He's very popular in the city of Peekskill, New York, for a number of reasons. But the reason he's on the show tonight, he's going to talk about how he's involved with helping with certain standards for businesses as they open in New York, but in particular, I imagine Westchester County. His name is Kevin Michael Winterfield, and I thank you so much for being on the show, Kevin.
It's great to be on the show with you, Toni, and I look forward to discussing kind of what I've been doing the last 11 weeks, I should say.
I understand that you go into restaurants and you check to see if they have met the particular guidelines and I guess also mandates for opening a restaurant. And you look to see if there are any violations and you look to see what things are good, correct?
That's right. I created this weekly report called the hashtag Dine Safe in Peekskill. And every week I go out and I go to different restaurants, that either ones I've known for a long period of time, and now people are requesting them, kind of like a DJ, you know. They request me to go to these different restaurants, and I evaluate them for compliance to the COVID standards in New York State.
What are the COVID standards in New York State for a restaurant?
When I go in, I basically look for a couple things. One, do they have the proper signage? Do they have proper social distancing? And probably the biggest one after social distancing is masks, and that's masks on their employees and masks on the customers. So I'm looking for those kind of three basic items. And if they don't have one of those, so I have a scale from red, it's kind of like red, yellow, green, you know. So green, you're good to go. Yellow, there's some problems. Red, I ain't going back, you know, there's a lot of problems. So when I go in, you know, I come in, nobody knows I'm coming. I don't say in advance, I'm coming to check your place out. I come in and I love eating, so I love going to different restaurants. I now know 35 new restaurants.
Wow.
That I never went to before. So I can actually write an entire article on every restaurant.
You could practically write a book with that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, and it's great. And so, you know, I'll go in and basically what my process is, I review it. And then if there's a problem, if it's not a green, I write them a note. I usually do it through Facebook because I want documentation. I say, hey, I discovered these things were missing from your compliance with COVID. And 90% of the time, they're super happy about that. Oh, thank you for letting me know. I'm glad you did that. And then I'll make a revisit with them not knowing that I'm coming. They don't know I'm going to come back. And I'll check to see if they've made the changes. If they made the changes, they go from a red or a yellow to a green. If they haven't, I write them again. And I say, well, I went back and I noticed that, you know, improper mask wearing. They might say, oh, very sorry about that. Or they might not respond at all. And then they get a red. It stays red because it means they haven't changed what they needed to change. Some people have asked me, do I report them and all this kind of stuff to the state? And this isn't about gotcha. I'm not out to get anybody. I love Peekskill. Peekskill literally saved my life when I was in a really low point.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, no. Going to the Peekskill coffee shop and listening to the music and all that stuff and getting to know the people of Peekskill really brought me up, you know, from a point of, you know, deep, deep sadness. And also I love eating, you know, so I had that and then I loved and then I also wanted to help people stay safe and businesses thrive or at least get by, you know, during these hard times. So my thing is really about giving something back to the community that helped me get through a really rough patch and help them get through a rough patch. And I get to eat everything. So
dining is good. Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you publish the list, do you publish the entire list, or do you publish just the people on top, or just the people? Do you publish the entire list?
I publish the entire list. So every week I go out to 3 to 5 different restaurants and I rate them. And then I add those to a cumulative list. So I keep them all. Right now I have over 36 restaurants rated and one gas station because somebody wanted me to rate a gas station.
Okay.
I take requests for non-restaurants at times.
But gas stations serve food.
Yeah, they serve food. And, you know, people go in and buy, like this one person wrote me, hey, I always get my beer at this gas station. I noticed they're not wearing any, you know, protective stuff. Can you go in and check it out? And I went and checked it out and all that kind of stuff. I publish every week. I publish all 35 and I put at the top of the report the new ones that I did. And I kind of give them, you know, so you can see red, green, or yellow ratings.
Okay. And I think that's good. I guess if I had a restaurant, I would love to be on your list, you know, as someone that is a consistent green. So I'm just thinking positive, which I like to do.
Yeah, me too.
I think the upside of it for businesses is that they can be published as somebody that has a consistent green and it would be good for their business.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're getting to really the part I love the most. And Peekskill really is a fantastic community because the businesses thank me. They write me back and say, oh my goodness, thank you for finding this. Because if we were caught by the state, that's $1,000 a day for, you know, some of the things that I've found. During these hard times, none of these businesses, restaurants in particular, do not have that kind of money to pay out. So they're saving their dollars so that they can, you know, keep their employees and they're being safe. And so, you know, some of them have invited me to come because, and that makes me feel good because it means they're confident. But I tell them, look, I'll come, but I'm not going to tell you when. I don't take any free meals. So, you know, I'll pay for it myself and I'll come when you're least expecting it. And I thank them for inviting me. But they, just like you said, they want to be on the list. They want to be green.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, 90% of the ones I've gone to have either started red and once they found out, moved to green. And then the ones that have been green, well, I don't want to give too much away because tonight I'm putting out my next report. And I'm doing now what I call revisits, where I go back to the ones that were green in the past and I see, are they still green? You know, that's a good way to test if they're staying in compliance.
You know, it's interesting to me because in trying to go out once in a while to eat in a restaurant anywhere, it's complicated for the restaurant owner because there's part of the compliance, and you'll tell me if this is true or not, is that they're probably restricted to the number of people they can have in the restaurant. That in itself is going to, you know, cut right in directly. It's a broad stroke.
Yeah, that's a really good point you're making because just recently they've allowed indoor dining. So when I started this 11 weeks ago, it started because I walked into a new restaurant down on the riverfront called Bajarito, and I was just going in for takeout. And I noticed, you know, I love burritos. You know, if you give me a burrito, I'll eat it no matter what. Doesn't matter what's in it. I just love it. And they were not following any of the guidelines. And this kind of started the whole process. Now there's indoor dining, which adds exactly the complexity you talked about, which is you only can be a certain percentage. I think it's 25% of your regular indoor. So that's another factor that they have to think about. So they have to have that taken care of as well as their outdoor seating. Even if they have outdoor seating, they still have to maintain social distances. It does put pressure on them, and it has to because of safety. We really don't want people to get sick because they go out and eat. We want people to be safe. And the restaurants want that too.
Yeah. Like I just have to say, it's a very complex situation. I don't know what I would do under the circumstances. And I think it also puts the restaurant owner on notice that everything they do, the food, everything has to be excellent. It's a lot of pressure for someone.
Mm-hmm.
I always said that the restaurant business was the most difficult small business of all.
It's a toughie. It's a toughie, yeah.
I know restaurants a bit, and I know there's a restaurant in the New York metropolitan area that has places in Westchester, Connecticut, and Manhattan, but it's a family. I'm not even going to call their name, but they're so good at this. And, you know, I'll say that I've been to a number of their restaurants that are under different names, you know, and I've always felt that that no one really did it the way they did it. You know, you go to one place in Manhattan and then you go to see like one of the other places that's maybe in White Plains and they just know what to do. I went to that restaurant probably about 6 weeks ago and took a chance. I was a little nervous, but you know, they had outdoor dining, which they really never had. And they had enough money to put a ventilation system in. So they claim. And I think for some of the smaller places like here in Peekskill, it's almost like an unfair advantage. Do any of the restaurants in Peekskill have that filtration? I don't know what it's called, if it's ultraviolet light.
Well, there's a certain level of that is a recommended filtration that some of the places should put in. I don't know, you know, and that's a good question. I can start asking that if they've installed that. But it's a guideline. If the restaurant can't meet that because of cost restrictions, they need to show the right kind of airflow, like their HVAC system can't recirculate the air because you don't want the virus recirculating and the like. But that's a good thing, you know, particularly as we're moving indoors. You know, we go into fall and the colder weather, people are going to want to be indoors more or take out. You know, I still think that dining out, taking out is a good way to support the folks. Indoor, you just want to be careful. Indoor, you want to make sure you feel that the ventilation is good, you're not too cramped in, and people are social distancing enough and are wearing masks when they get up. So if you're indoors, if you're at your table, it's fine, and you're with your group, you're fine. But as soon as you get up and move around, you want to make sure you put your mask on, so you don't spread anything around. But you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned there have been some really outstanding examples of restaurants in Peekskill that have been doing it right since the beginning. One of them is, you know, I mentioned the Peekskill Coffee House, but if you go into the Peekskill Coffee House, that is a model. Sunny has done a great job from day one being a model for how you should have traffic flow, airflow. All their employees were proper masks, you know, real solid masks, and the customers pay attention. And one thing I've noticed that I think almost all the restaurants should think about is having a like traffic controller, someone who is watching to make sure people are not getting too close in line, that they're sitting in the right way. They just kind of act as an overseer of the traffic. And that's what they have at Peekskill Coffee House. So, you know, I would recommend if there's other restaurant owners out there who are not sure how to do it, that they go check out the Peekskill Coffee House. And then Kurtzall's too. Kurtzall's coffee has done well. And to my great pleasure, I'm a donut lover. All three Dunkin' Donuts.
Yay!
Are very, I know, right?
Highly compliant. I mean,
yes, they have really got it down.
Yeah, no, Dunkin' Donuts, they have it down and they have a big corporation behind them.
They do. They do.
You know, and they have a lot to protect.
They do. They have a big brand. You know, and also Ty's Breadbasket over on Main Street, she does a fantastic job in there. It's so cozy now. I mean, that's another one of the ones I love. And then Whiskey River, the new place on Division Street.
Yeah, they make a nice cocktail over there.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do indeed.
They make a fantastic burger too, a Hudson River. I think it's called the Hudson River Burger. That's, you know, I got that thing. I was like, I'm going to be here for 3 days eating this because it's so big and delicious.
How about the Bean Runner? I noticed the Bean Runner sort of resolved some things because they have a little park outside there.
Oh man, Bean Runner has done a great job. From the first day on, they've really, and now they have Esther Park, which thanks to Peekskill Walks, the group called Peekskill Walks, they were able to close that off and create a whole new space for Bean Runner, which is really taking advantage of that for their outdoor jazz and music, and for Peekskill Coffee House, who has an opportunity to have their folks, you know, be outside in a safe place. So.
And it's pretty over there. I've partaken of that space and listened to some music one night, and it's really pretty. It's a lovely, lovely setting.
They hired an artist, local artist, to paint those cement barriers, and that is Peekskill.
Right.
Bree Pettis, who is the owner of Bantam Tools, startup Bantam Tools down by the riverfront. He's doing such great things for Peekskill. He was one of the folks, I think he may have been the sole person that funded that artist to do that. And that is Peekskill. That is this community. It's got the arts. It's got the food. It's got the people.
It's got the music.
It's got the music. Oh, my God. And Ted and Drew over there, boy, do they know music.
They do. There's quite a following over there as well. But I'm wondering, like, how do you keep up with all the changes and regulations? I imagine there are going to be some major changes as the weather gets colder and we're going to be inside again.
So how do I keep up?
Mm-hmm. How do you keep up with everything?
Before I started doing this, I was watching all of Governor Cuomo's briefings every day. And I was writing up summaries for the page. If you go to this page I started a while back called Peekskill Kind and Caring on Facebook, it's all about what you said. You know, you talked about being positive. That page is all about being positive. There are a couple of other pages out there that aren't so positive. They kind of just get stuck in the weeds and they debate and they fight. So I created this page to say, let's not do that. Let's actually work. Yeah. So I was watching Cuomo's stuff every day. And so I got very, very familiar with the guidelines and kind of knowing where to find all that stuff. And as we move, you know, and I've been watching what they've been doing. And as we move into now, you know, the winter, we're also getting now schools reopening. That's going to have a new dynamic and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to play a role in kind of what can happen. And the good news is that if you look at New York, we are all the states, we're doing the best.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what I say. We're New Yorkers. I'm sorry. You know, it's New York.
Yeah, we went through a tough time, but our leadership turned it around. And the people of New York, as Cuomo will say, and folks will say, and the leaders will say, the people of New York responded. And like no other state has, and has kept it low. So what's going to be interesting, as you said, when we move into the winter and people are forced to do more indoor activities, what guidelines change? And also, as schools open up, are we going to see a bump in the case count, you know, the new cases count, because schools could be a problem, particularly if they're in-person types of things. Mm-hmm. And the good news is the state has set up daily monitoring of cases on a county by county and community and municipality by municipality. So the good news is we have daily metrics and reports, and I've been tracking those as well on the group Peekskill Kind and Caring, so that people will know if something starts to pop up, and if the cases come up, then we'll have to change the guidelines. And I'll make sure, you know, when we do the reports, we're looking at the proper guidelines. Now, here's the key to it all. If we do what we're doing now and we stay vigilant, because Peekskill is very low level of new cases and active cases. People just keep doing what you're doing now, Peekskillians.
Wear your mask.
Wear your mask. Stay socially distant. Wash your hands. Don't gather in too large a crowds. Keep that up and keep monitoring, which is key. We're going to make it through. We are, you know, Peekskill strong, as they say, but we're doing it right.
This is a community that kind of knows what's right. That's what I would say. And most people, I think we're basically all in the same chapter, if not on the same page. You know, once in a while, you kind of see, I've heard stories of people being resistant to the masks. Someone said that they're getting dirty looks on the elevator in their apartment building about their mask when other people are not wearing them. And I think that that resistance, I think, is ridiculous. I said to somebody in Peekskill, a woman, an older woman, and she just feels she doesn't have to wear a mask. And I said, wear a mask. That's why I don't go in your store, because you don't wear a mask, you know? And so she goes, well, you know, and I said, listen, do you ever ride in a car and you get in the front seat? Do you buckle your seatbelt? Do you do it every time? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, it's just one little thing, you know? It is cumbersome, I'll say, to leave the house these days, because you have to make sure you have everything. So then you look and say, oh, I forgot my hand sanitizer. Oops, I forgot my mask. That's the worst, when you forget your mask.
Yeah.
Then you do have to go back.
You're absolutely right. And that's why, you know, the mask thing, and I think it's becoming less and less. I'm hoping more and more people are getting it, because I'm actually seeing people who didn't do it before finally doing it now. Mm-hmm. And I try not to confront people who don't have masks. I just stay away, because they have their position. But I will, maybe if I know them, or I could message them, or some way where I'm not confronting them, that might be a good way to, you know, face to face, if you will, just letting them know that I care for them. I care for them. I don't want them sick. You know, I don't want anybody sick. And if putting a mask on your face, which has been proven, can help prevent that, do it for a bit. This isn't going to go on forever. Do it until we're through it and we get a vaccine. Pandemics have happened in the past, and we get through it, but we have to do what's right. That's what's cool about PeaceGo. I think people know the right thing to do. And like you said, a majority of those folks will get it. And I have compassion and caring for those who aren't, you know, for whatever reason, whatever their beliefs are. And we have to just figure out a way to let them know that we care for them.
Are you thinking, Kevin, of just doing restaurants? Because, you know, when you were talking about the lining up, I noticed that we have a supermarket in the main part of Peekskill called Seatown. And I know they had to close for 3 weeks in the beginning of the pandemic. And they have a couple of stores in the area, because family members who own the store had passed away from COVID.
Oh.
And then when they reopened, they were so zealous about doing the right thing. They still are. And they have someone that's stationed outside often. This is a grocery store. And they have people distanced 6 feet apart, and they enforce it. Now, I'm wondering, are you doing other types of businesses like delis? We know you did the gas station, because they do serve food in gas stations. I'm wondering, because the delis, are they under the same restrictions?
The delis certainly are, and, you know, grocery stores are as well. And so I do delis. I did, so Baisley's, you know, Baisley's Deli on Hudson. They're a great example of going from red to green. I went to them twice. I've been told that and this is one of the ones where you go in and you love them. You're just like, oh, you're so friendly. You're doing most of this right. But some of your employees aren't wearing the mask properly, or they're just, you know, it's falling down and stuff. And so I write them and they say, oh, you know, the owner is like, oh, we'll fix it. And then I go again, and I see it happen again. So I have to give them a red. Well, a couple of weeks later, someone writes me and says, you should go recheck them, because now they're doing it fantastic. So I, without them knowing, I go back. And they've got it down. And I could tell, I could just tell that they were the spirit of wanting to make it work. They were just working their way through the bumps, like you said, figuring it out. And they have got it down like a charm. So that's a deli that, you know, Baisley's on Hudson, that really changed. And I'd recommend going there. Plus the food's delicious. Love their sausage, egg, and cheese on a roll. So.
Oh, there you go. Sausage, egg, and cheese. It's a favorite.
It is.
So now when you go into these places, Kevin, do people recognize you? Uh-oh, there he is.
No.
Not yet?
The fun thing is I keep waiting for them. Since I do it by message and I don't do it face-to-face, obviously Peekskill Coffee House knows who I am. Kurtzel's knows who I am. But the ones that don't, haven't really seen me, maybe they're new restaurants. Like, I'd never gone to Baisley's before. They don't know me, but I should mention, you know, I wear a mask that has ladybugs on it. You know, very easy. There aren't too many people that have ladybug masks on.
Oh, that's you. Now I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm the ladybug mask. Exactly.
You're the ladybug mask guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sort of, the reason I was asking about like other places, the thing that I anticipate being one that I'm an artist, so I'm used to being home anyway. But, you know, there's a fine line between solitude and loneliness. It's a fine line. There really is. But this is what I anticipate, and you touched on it earlier. When the weather gets colder, perhaps the restaurants will be really pushing for takeout and delivery, you know, because I think that's the way to go, because people like to be in often when it's cold out anyway. I believe in being on a perch, kind of where I am. I see that businesses can do well with takeout. Because sometimes I play this little game. I'm working in my studio and I go to the window, check it out. And there are times when I'm like right there and I'm doing something. I look and I count the customers and I know how they're doing. You know, some of them take advantage, big advantage of the takeout. And then there are those that kind of shut it down. So I'm wondering if you can we anticipate that? I mean, would you advise people when the weather gets colder to do takeout and not go into a restaurant for safety?
Well, as long as they're meeting the state guidelines for indoors, as long as the restaurants are doing what's right there, mm-hmm. it should not be a problem. That's going to be key. And you saw the governor just recently, I think just this week, allowed indoor dining to begin in New York City. But he said he wants every New Yorker to pay attention. And if they go in and they see that it's not 25% of capacity, let's say they got a crowd in there, that there's now a hotline where they can register that complaint anonymously and say, restaurant X, and you know they're packed, and they'll send someone to check it out. And if it's not, they're not complying, that's an immediate $1,000 fine. So what can we anticipate? I certainly do hope more and more restaurants, and I think they are, get into takeout better. You're counting. You could be a good metric for me. You can tell me how many.
I do count. There are three restaurants across the street from me and one next door. There are times, I remember predicting one restaurant going out of business because of what I was seeing. I said, uh-oh.
There you go.
And I was counting and I saw this, I was watching. I said, wow, they're going to have to fold. And then then the old owners came back and took over again. And I saw that happen. I watched it all unfold right before my eyes.
So what can we predict coming up? As it gets colder, people want to move inside. Are they going to move inside the restaurants? Some of them may, but they can only go up to capacity. So, and when the weather gets really bad, where it's snowing and really super cold, those restaurants that are figuring out how to get the takeout to work the most efficient, that's going to take having a process and also making sure they are advertising on Facebook and other places that they have this takeout and potentially delivery. The delivery and takeout kind of are, you know, the same type of thing, only you have someone deliver it to you. Those restaurants that make that switch and make it well known probably will do better than obviously those that don't. So we have some challenges coming up and restaurants are going to have to figure that out. What would be nice is if we get a vaccine soon, like in November and December, that starts to roll out, because that will open up the window for the restaurants to know that they can make it through. People are going to be vaccinated and they don't have to worry as much, and we'll start opening that up, which would be nice. Another thing, restaurants can take advantage of the, I think it's called the PPP program, which is a paycheck protection program that the state is offering and the federal, at a federal level, to give them some monies to weather this crisis. Those are other options that they can take. I've heard mixed reviews on that program, but I'm hoping that more of that will be out there so that they can get through the tough months. Another thing is, we as a community can think about maybe a couple times a week patronizing our restaurants in either takeout, delivery, or visiting indoors if we feel comfortable about that, to say, hey, we support you. We're here. We're still here for you. And I know that's not possible for everybody, but you know, some of us, you know, who have more discretionary income or whatever, let's go and support these businesses. They provide a super important service for the city. Let's make sure we support them during these tough times.
And bring your friends from out of town.
What a great idea. I hadn't even thought. Yeah, absolutely. Introduce them.
Because we all know each other, but you know, and we all know these places. But when you bring someone from out of town into the community, it only helps the community. That's my motto.
You make a really good point about out of town. Since the crisis hit, more and more people are looking to move to the suburb. Peekskill is one of those places. So we'll have more people from out of town moving in into the city area. And that's another positive factor for the restaurants, is you will have more people every day. I'll sit in Kurtzall's. I used to sit in Kurtzall's when before the pandemic, and I would hear young couples talking about how they just moved here. They love it here. It's a wonderful place to have a family. It's close to, you know, the train station, and it's not, you know, it's close enough to the city that if they need to go in the city, they can.
It's very picturesque as well.
It is. It's beautiful.
You know, I take walks down by the river a lot. I used to live up the hill in the condos up the hill, which were beautiful, beautiful. But then when I moved into town down here, I fell in love with the waterfront, with the riverfront green. I just think it's so beautiful. What a gorgeous walk that is.
You can get the best sunsets in the world over there.
We do get the best sunsets in the world. It's gorgeous. There are restaurants down there as well that you could patronize. I watched the moon rise one night at the brewery. I saw the sunset on one side and watched the moon rise on the other side. It's very picturesque. It's beautiful. And I think that with the cold weather coming, I mean, I would just say to people on my show people are listening from around the world. And I would say that if you're in an area where it's very, very cold in the winter, or people, or you're compelled to be in instead of out because of the virus, take out, bring home, light the fires, pour a glass of wine.
Yes.
You know, if you have somebody to be with, snuggle up, eat good restaurant food. On your plates, on your own plates, because that's the way I do it, I take out my china, I take it out of the styrofoam, put it on the china, and I dine at home. It's wonderful. And you can do that. You can take out and fill her anywhere.
And you mentioned this thing about being alone and loneliness. People are on this cusp. And I think once the days get shorter, people are going to get more and more, a little bit more nervous. I want folks to know that we're here, that Zoom exists. You can connect. Even though Zoom is not a replacement for being with people, there are Zoom meetings. I've been thinking of starting a Zoom kind of just get together in the evening for people who want to just join. And let's just not be alone during this time.
I enjoy a Zoom cocktail party. I've done that.
Yes. Good, good. Good for you.
I had Zoom cocktails with my friends in Texas, Israel. On
yes.
Zoom. It's wonderful. Yes. And I'd love to have a Zoom cocktail party. There was a Zoom, what do they call it? A quarantini party that the chamber had.
You know, it's an interesting idea. We have the BID organization, which supports the business district and the restaurants. And, you know, Sepp and Brian are very, very much into that. It would be interesting if they started something like that for the restaurants. Maybe even the restaurants could host like a restaurant Zoom dining call or something. That would be interesting.
So tell me, Kevin, I think that my audience is going to want to know where they can see your report.
Thank you for that. Join the Peekskill Kind and Caring Facebook page. It's actually a Facebook group, so join the community there. And every Thursday, I would post the report exclusively there. And it's on the hashtag. I use the hashtag DineSafe. In Peekskill. So that's another way people can find it. But to get the report first and see each week's thing, go to the Peekskill Kind and Caring Facebook group page.
On Facebook, everybody, you go to the Peekskill Kind and Caring Facebook page. Kind and caring. We're going to be nice. Be nice to each other.
Gotta be. You gotta be.
You have to be. That's the only way to be. On that note, what I'm going to say, Kevin, please come back to the show for a follow-up and to see where we are, let's say in mid-October. See how far we've come. Thank you, Kevin Michael Winterfield. You're the best. I'm glad we finally met.
Thank you.
And I'm going to thank the audience for coming to the show. Please come back again soon to the Energy Stoners Cafe. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.